This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Yes, today is the day we celebrate all over the world because He's risen. It's not just a day that we celebrate once a year. It's a day that we celebrate every week. That's why Christians all over the world come together, not on the Sabbath, not on the Friday, the day that He was crucified, but we come together on the Sunday, the first day of the week. Because this is the day that Jesus rose from the dead. This is the day that in a sense affirmed everything that He ever said, everything that He ever claimed to be was affirmed today when Jesus rose from the dead. That's why the word says, if it wasn't for the resurrection, our faith is futile. It's meaningless. We should only be pitied. It is because of this day that we are here. Because Jesus conquered sin and death for us. That's why we're here. And I trust that's why we come every Sunday, to celebrate this day, the fact that Jesus is Lord. That Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And that no one can come to Him except, nobody can come to the Father except through Him. And that's why we come together, because of what He has done for us in this day. A lot of things changed in our understanding of God when Christ came to the earth. A lot of things changed on what we understood of God and how we understood God. When Jesus came to the earth. In times past, we understood a lot about God, but when God came to us, when He lived amongst us, when the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we behold the glory of God, full of grace and truth, a lot of things changed in our understanding of who God is. And I want to share this morning just a few things. I had a whole long list, and I had to shorten this list because I realized you're on holiday. But I have 10 things that really stood out for me personally and that I had to condense a little bit. There's many more that one can add to this list. But I want to share with you 10 things that changed when Jesus came to earth and our understanding of who God is. The first one that I want to share with you is that God is not distant and unapproachable, but He's close and personal. He's not distant and unapproachable, but He's close and personal. Yeah, in Hebrews 4, verse 14, we say, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith that we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are. Yet He did not sin. Then let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. One of the most amazing things of our understanding that was changed about God as we related to God in the past, we related to God as distant. He was holy. He was unapproachable and far from us. Yet when Jesus came, everything changed in that God became one of us. He came to us. He humbled Himself to be with us, to live amongst us. It changed our understanding that God is not distant, but close. He's not aloof to our weakness and our suffering. But He came to be one of us, and He was tempted just like us. He suffered the things that we suffered in this life, even to greater extent. And God is no longer distant in our understanding because of Christ, but God is close. He is amongst us. He was one of us. And He can understand our struggling. He can empathize with our weakness and our loss. For He Himself has suffered. It's not just God that says, I understand from where I am. It is God that says, I understand because I was with you. This is one of the things that changed when Jesus came to earth. The second thing that changed is the fact that we understood for the first time that God is not just holy, but that He is love. In our understanding of the Old Testament, it was very clear that God is holy. But when Jesus came, we understood that He's not just holy, that God is also love. We read here in Romans 5, "For scarcely a righteous man, one will die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone will even dare to die. But God demonstrated His own love towards us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having been justified by His blood, shall we be saved from wrath through Him." You see, in the Old Testament, we had a clear understanding that God is holy and that He's righteous. But when Jesus came, we understood that God is not just holy, He's also love. And it's not just because God had compassion for us. Jesus had compassion for us. It's not just whenever we came in our brokenness and our weakness and our sickness that Jesus touched us and healed us with great compassion and love. More than that, we understood that God loved us to such extent that He was willing to die on a cross for each one of us. It changed our understanding of who God is. He's not just holy. He is love in a really tangible, real way. Jesus died for us. Our understanding of God changed when He came. The third thing that changed when Jesus came is we understood that God is not only a righteous judge, but He has grace. He's not just a righteous judge, but He has grace, and He extends that grace to whosoever believes. We read in Ephesians 2 verse 8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." And all of a sudden we realize that God is not just holy, and He wants us to live holy. But we are justified based not on our works, but He accepts us. Not based on our performance. He accepts us based on our faith in Him. He extends grace to us. And He redeems us not because we are perfect, but because we have faith in Him. And this is something that changed, because in the past we thought we can only come to God if we are perfect. And then Jesus came and we realized that through Him we can come to God even though we are imperfect. He justifies us, He accepts us, He redeems us, not based on our performance. Even though, don't misunderstand, God has not changed. He is not unholy. He's not changed in His character and nature. He is still holy and He wants us to be holy, but He doesn't justify us. That if we have faith in Him, He will receive us. Another thing that changed when Jesus came to the earth is that we realize that God is not only all, but He is humble. In our understanding of God is that He was all powerful and nothing was impossible He chooses to do. And there was great fear and trembling in this awesome, almighty, consuming fire. But when Jesus came to earth, we understood that He's not just all powerful. He is humble. He's a humble God. We read here in Philippians, "Have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to His own advantage. By taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance of being obedient to death, even death on a cross." Our understanding of God is He's all powerful, but He's a humble God, and He's willing to humble Himself. As powerful and glorious as He is, He is also humble in nature. He chose to humble Himself, to become weak and frail in human form. And He was not born in simplicity. And He lived a simple life. So we understood that God is humble. The change in our understanding when Jesus came is that God does not want religion to have a relationship with us. God is not so much interested in a religious lifestyle of blind obedience to rules and regulations and cultures and traditions. God wants a relationship with us. He wants our hearts. He doesn't want our religion. He made it very clear when He spoke to those who lived and practiced religion, but whose heart was far from Him. Yeah, we read in Mark, disciples not walk according to the traditions of the elders, but eat with defiled hands. And Jesus said to them, well did Isaiah prophesies of you hypocrites, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrine of God and hold to the tradition of men. Jesus rebuked those who practiced religion. So God demands loyalty and friendship and devotion to Him before we do to a church and a tradition. It's amazing that Jesus calls His disciples friends. Because God is not after religion. He's after our hearts. The other thing that changed when Jesus came is that God not only punished and pardoned sin through the sacrificial system, we understood that Jesus sins. But when Jesus came, we realized that God not only pardons and punishes. We read in Romans chapter 6, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abide? How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many as us as we baptized Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we all certainly also we shall stand in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. The amazing thing that we understood when Jesus came is that God not only punishes and pardons sin, He came to set us free from sin. Free from the power of sin, sinful nature, but that we can be controlled by His Spirit that lives within us. And that we can be free. The seventh thing that changed when Jesus came is that we understood that God not only forgives because He can, but that there is a cost, a price to forgiveness. And that price was horrible. God not only forgives because He can, He forgives because He pays the cost. He pays the price. And that was a horrible price to pay. We read here in 1 Peter 1, redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by the tradition of the blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb without blemish, without spot. Just God, and He doesn't just sweep our sins under the carpet. Because He can. No, He's a just God. And for forgiveness, there is a cost. There is a price to be paid. And God paid in the punishment that I deserved. He placed on Him. And He punished Him so that He can forgive me. We didn't really understood what it would take for God to deal with our sin until Jesus. We're a shadow of things of the sacrificial system that if we sin and the consequences die in our place. We understood that, but we didn't really know what it would take for God to deal with sin once and for all until Jesus came. And we see Him tortured to death for our iniquity. To die on a cross that we understood what it would take for God to pay. The eighth thing that changed when Jesus. And so can we through faith in Jesus Christ. I'll say that again. God not only punishes sin with death, but sin and death can be overcome. And so can. 1 Corinthians 15 says, O death, where is your victory? O death, for sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power. But thank God, He gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus. It changed radically our understanding of sin and its consequences when Jesus came and rose on this day. Because He became sin who knew no sin. He became sin for you and me. He took all our sin upon Himself and God punished Him. And He faced the consequence of sin. Which makes sense. Our understanding of sin is someone has to die. But will it ever stop? Year after year, we had to sacrifice for our sins. Until God sent His Son. And He died for us once and for all. But He didn't stay dead. He didn't stay dead. God raised him from the dead. And he is alive. And all of a sudden we understood that death and sin can be overcome because Jesus was risen from the dead. He raised and he lives to this day for us as an example to know that he has become the firstborn of the living. We used to follow Adam, who was a perfect man and rebelled against God and sinned, and we incurred the penalty of that sin, which is death. And we were trapped in sin and death, and we never really knew if we would ever be free from this until Jesus came. When he died for us, another perfect man. And not only did he die, he was raised to new life to show us that death and sin can be overcome. And so can we through faith in him. Because we can now, in Christ, follow his path and not Adam's. The ninth thing that changed when Jesus came is God is not only eternal, but he gives eternal life. We understood that God is eternal, but now we know that he gives eternal life. And that life is in his Son, Jesus Christ. That life is in his Son. That life is not in my perfection. It is in him. It changed my whole understanding of eternal life and my approach to God. We read here in John 10, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. You see, Jesus is the one that gives eternal life. In the past, we thought eternal life is gained through our perfection, but now we understand that it is through his perfection. And having faith in him and a relationship with him, that our salvation is secure and we have access to this eternal life through faith in Christ. He gives eternal life to all who follows him. Eternal life is in Jesus. This is amazing because no longer do I need to try to be perfect. My security is not in my perfection. My security is in his perfection. It is not in my works, but in his works. It is not in what I can do, but what he has done for me and my faith in him. That access, that grace that God extends to whosoever believes in this sacrifice that I have made for you. Whoever believes in this sacrifice that I have made for you will be saved. And not just saved and forgiven, but have eternal life. And then lastly, I have to end, is God is not only waiting for us. We have an understanding that one day we will be with him. God is not just waiting for us. God now lives in us. God now lives in us. How awesome is this? This great prophecy of Joel that one day I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. In the old, we understood that God's presence was in Jerusalem, in the temple, in the Holy of Holies, that we could not enter. And if we want to know where he is, we had to travel to Jerusalem. But now, after Jesus has come, we realize that God has fulfilled that promise as he poured out his spirit that now lives within us. And we have become the temple of God. Yet it says in 1 Corinthians 6, it says, do you not know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God, and you are not your own? How awesome is this to know that we are not alone anymore. That God lives within us. And the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives within us. Therefore, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, because that what has given him life now lives in us. And we are never alone. God is no longer distant, but he is closer than we think. For those who believe, he lives within us. And all these things, and there are so many more, can be yours through faith in Jesus. I don't have the scripture on the board, but I'll read it for you anyway. Ephesians 2 verse 5, it says, even when we were dead in our trespasses, God made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. There's a whole long list that I cannot share with you this morning because my time is running out and you're on holiday. But all this is possible because of Jesus Christ. Not just because He promised it. Not just because He taught it. Not just because He lived it. But because He died and rose again. It affirmed everything that He said. That He is truly who He said He was, the Son of God. Because no other Savior has done that before. Muhammad is dead. Buddha is dead. Krishna is dead. You can name them. They're all dead. And they're still dead. There's just one Savior. And His grave is empty. His grave is empty. You cannot say Jesus was a good man. You cannot say Jesus is a good man, was a good man. He was either a liar and He deceived millions, but He was not a good man. He was either a liar and you are all deceived because of His words. Or He was a lunatic. He thought He was God. But He was deranged in His mind. And because of His lunaticism, I don't know how you call that. That's a new word. Lunacy. He was so passionate in what He believed, even though He was cuckoos in the head, that He convinced millions, including us. But He was not a good man. Or He was who He said He was, the Son of God. And if there's any doubt, go to His grave. Because that affirmed everything that He said. That He wasn't a liar, He wasn't a lunatic, but He was who He said He was. And today, if you bow your knee to Him, if you accept the testimony of God over this Jesus Christ as the Son of God, the source of life and eternal life, you too can have it for yourself. This is Jesus. I want to ask the ushers to hand out the communion as we pray. Father, we want to thank You for this day. We want to thank You in this day, God, that You have come to give us life through Your Son. And so, Lord, we worship, we celebrate, and we rejoice in this day. Because Jesus is alive. Because You overcame sin and death once and for all. And it is finished. And whosoever believes in You will not perish, but have everlasting life. I want to give you an opportunity, as we're going to share in communion together, just to reflect on the Word of God. Even if it's just one thing in that list of 10 that you can embrace afresh anew, that you can explore in faith, that you can believe on until it becomes real in your life. All these things are real. This is not philosophy. This is not a good slogan. This is Jesus. And we're going to celebrate His death and His life. And I want you to wait for each other as we participate together. While we wait for each other, I want to read for you John chapter 5, verse 24. Thank you. Jesus said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life. And he shall not come into judgment, but pass from death to life." Then he continues to say in Matthew chapter 6 about the bread of life. Jesus stood up and says, "Most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and are filled. Do not labor for food which perishes, but for food which endures to everlasting life. For the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set a seal on him." And they said to him, "What sign shall you do that we may know that the works of God?" And Jesus answered him, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him who he sent." And therefore they said to him, "What sign will you perform then, that we may see and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Then they say to him, "Lord, give us this bread." Then Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who believes in me shall never hunger. But I have said to you, and you have seen me, and you do not believe. But all that the Father gives to me will come to me, and he who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of the Father who sent me, that all that he has given to me, I should not lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up on that last day." Who's still missing some bread? Anybody still need bread? Who needs a cup? Anybody that we've passed over? I have. Thank you. Thank you. Jesus said, "I am the bread. I am the bread of life. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which comes down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give him is my flesh, which I shall give him for the life of the world. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. And as the Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me." This is Jesus. He's not a liar. He's not a lunatic. He is the Son of God. And I want us just to take a moment and reflect on those words. And just in your own heart, I just want you to respond. So just close your eyes. Just close your eyes this morning. I am the bread of life. He who feeds on me will never go thirsty, will never go hungry, but have eternal life. Today, if you are here while all the eyes are closed, today on this day, Resurrection Day, where everything that Jesus said was verified, everything was verified on this day when he rose from the grave. On this day, if you're here His words. If you've never made a response to this Jesus, not as a good man, but as a Savior, as the Son of God, today is your day of salvation. Today, on this day, you have an opportunity in faith to receive this life, this eternal life. And while all the eyes are closed, if that is you and you've never surrendered your life to the Son of God, not to tradition, not to culture, not because of what your parents believe or your church believes, but because of what you believe God's word says about this Jesus. If that is you this morning and you want to surrender, you want to eat of this bread so that you may have this eternal life, I want you just to respond where you're seated by a simple act of faith, by just raising your hand and say, yes, God, I want to receive this Jesus. I want to eat of this bread. I want to surrender my life to you, Lord, so that I may have this life that you promise. If that is you, I want to give you an opportunity just right now, just to raise your hand. Thank you for those hands. Thank you for those hands. You can drop them again. Is there anyone else? This is why we have this meeting. Not just to celebrate Jesus, but every sinner that repents, every person that comes to Jesus and surrenders his life, makes that cross and the purpose of that cross fulfilled for eternity. It's in your life. It's in your life, sir. It's in your life, madam. Today, heaven rejoices because Jesus' death was not in vain, because you surrender your life to him and he gives his to you. Anyone else want to surrender their life to Jesus? Just going to wait for a moment longer. Is there anyone else? You've been following Jesus because your parents have, because your culture does. Maybe you think he's a good man. But today he stands before you and say, I am the bread of life. On me, to you today. I want to thank you, God, that today you say, you are my son, you are my daughter. Because of faith in me. Because of faith in my son. Because of faith in my love. In my grace. In my character. Because I have given everything for you and you have chosen to believe this. Today I say you are mine. And if you've raised your hand, I want to declare to you that in your heart, as you pray this morning, as we partake of communion, you say, God, I give you my life. I want to follow you. I believe in Jesus. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you've come to save me from my sin. And as I surrender my life to you and I put my faith and trust in you, I will be saved. I can say to you boldly, you will have life. Eternal life. So I want us all just to pray this prayer together. Father God, thank you for your love. Thank you for sending me your Son to die for me. I am a sinner. I do not deserve this, but you love me and you gave your Son for me. I thank you for this, and I choose to believe, and I choose to follow you, to turn from my sin and follow you for the rest of my life. My God who I serve, I thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we want to thank you for giving us your Son. Lord, we thank you that you took our sin upon yourself and you were crossed for us so that we may have life. We will not forget what you have done for us. Let us eat together. Lord, thank you for this cup that is your blood that was shed for us so that we may have life. It is this blood that gives us freedom. It's this blood that purifies, because it's not our works, it's your works. It's not our sacrifice, it's yours. And it's faith in this blood that gives us life, not just for eternity in your presence. Lord, we thank you for this blood that was shed for us. For it, in Jesus' name, let's drink together. This day. Thank you for this day. Thank you that we have confidence and life in you because of Jesus. And God, I pray as we leave this place, that we will never for us, and that we will follow you all the days of our lives, that we'll keep hold of you with the Spirit within us and pursue every promise that you have made, that is yes and amen in Christ Jesus, until it is perfect, perfected, and manifest in and through us, so that you may be glorified. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for coming. May God bless you. And may you live the life that He has come to give you through His Son, which is not a life of surviving, but a life of abundance. Amen. Thank you. There's coffee and refreshments at the back. Please fellowship with us. And if you need of prayer, I'm going to be here for a while. I would love to pray with you. Especially if you gave your life to Jesus, I would love to meet you. So I'm going to be here for a few moments. But have an awesome week and a great break and time of rest. May God bless you.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.